I'm not saying his resume's bad. I'm not saying he's a bad athletic director or bad person or anything. What I'm saying is I think he had the wrong skill set as a hire. That's it.
The extensions that they didn't need to do, the Painter extension. So we were all saying they absolutely must know who the AD is, or they were just getting board approval. But to me, it looks like right now that Morgan Burke did make those decisions. Hey, does Pepper. Purdue get lights with this athletic director? What do you think? I say inside of 3 years, Purdue has lights.
Yes.
Welcome to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour, very special summer edition. It's actually the MB, and I don't mean Mercedes-Benz, although it could be. And it also could be my beer.
That's true. I need
But one. It's actually all about Morgan Burke transitioning to Mike Bubtitsky. No, Bubinski, sorry. There was actually a goaltender named Bobrovsky in the NHL, and somebody wrote up his name as Bubtitsky. All right, well, we could just start this over. No. So you know who you're listening to, in case you're new to the podcast. I am Jay, and we're joined by, slightly to my west, Anish the Swami, who's adjusting my audio level.
Hello.
He's on the other side of the glass, as we like to say in the business. And further west, even more out on the left.
Way left. Hello.
Way
ladies.
Left of center.
How are you this evening?
We're like from crossfire.
We're coming to you from the new Boiled Sports recording studio, which is really nice. Anish built this out of a piece of driftwood.
That's right.
Nice.
That's right.
Used a couple tools, carved it. The sound is much better. Took a little over 70 hours. So I think we should start probably with Olympic diving, and then move on to.
Serena Williams lost, so we're suffering a real tragedy.
If you really want to talk about that, the Williams sisters had never lost in the Olympics. And they lost right away in tennis, both doubles and singles, which only says to me they saw what was going on in Rio and said, you know what?
Let's screw it.
Nobody cares about this.
Yeah.
You know? news of the day, Alex Rodriguez will be retiring as of Friday or being released by the... No, that's not what you meant. So Purdue actually has a new athletic director. And I was thinking more about this as we were prepping. You know, if you read the site, you saw our quick reactions to it and the sunshine that was just tossed all over our site today and our Twitter feed. You could tell who was running it this morning. The happiest guy. What I will say, I was, and Anish is here to, of course, give us the perspective, but there aren't that many, maybe I'm just trying to do the old Purdue thing where I temper my expectations, right? But there aren't that many athletic director hires that you could make that would be a name recognition hire, right? I mean, to the average fan. And the only athletic directors you really know about on a name basis are guys who've screwed up somehow, right? Or covered something up, or...
If you are a well-known athletic director, that usually means something bad.
Usually
you know
something
what I mean?
Bad. So, yeah. So does that maybe mean something here? Are we a little bit... Because I think the general consensus, and Anish, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the general consensus from Boiled Sports is that this was a somewhat underwhelming, uninspired hire. Is that unfair?
I would say safe, but yeah, like safe and, you know... Yeah,
that's not
like
what they need right now, though, right?
I don't know, isn't it? I mean, like, I don't know. There are two ways of looking at this, right? When one of your programs, your revenue driving program, is kind of at the bottom of the barrel, and this is pretty much as bad as Purdue football, as bad of a 3-4 year run as Purdue football has ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Is your next step to swing for the fences because you have minimal to lose, you can't get much worse, or do you want the single? Like, you know, do you swing for the single? Do you swing for the double? You know, do you go for the sure thing? And I think that's what, I mean, like in Purdue fashion, I think this is kind of closer to what you're talking about. In Purdue fashion, we kind of went for the safe choice. You know, we went with the guy that's not flashy at all. He's not a young hire that Patrick, so one of the ones that was rumored, one of the candidates that was rumored and that apparently got a final interview was Patrick Chung, who was the one who completely overhauled Ohio State's fundraising and took Florida Athletic University to D1 level set everything. You know, he would have been, and like Josh Whitman, the guy who now is took over Illinois, both of those are young guys. They're about 40 years old, and, you know, that's swinging for the fence. Bobinski is a 60-year-old guy who's now on his fourth stop as AD. And all of the AD spots, you know, have lasted pretty long. Except for the last one, and we'll talk about that. We'll get a little more into that one later. He's an experienced hand, right? And he's well known in the business, particularly in the basketball side. And so to me, this isn't, you know, it's not, mundane, but I would, I'd say it's a very safe hire. But I think Dowd disagrees with me, and disagrees very fairly, I think.
I mean, I think safe is a fair descriptor. I really do. I don't think it's a bad one. The problem that I have is I look at it from kind of the way businesses make hires, right? If you came into my company, and the problem I was having was my accounting department really need to be cleaned up, okay? And I was going to put you as a middle manager. I'm obviously going to be the executive, okay? But I'm going to put you as the middle manager. I'd go after somebody who had experience in accounting, right? And cleaning up accounting problems, especially if I was running a decent-sized company. Purdue is a decent-sized athletic department because of the money that's been injected from the Big Ten Network. Big Ten is a major, you know, I don't know if we remember this sometimes, but we're still part of a major conference, right? So it doesn't have to be somebody, obviously, from a massive university. It has to be somebody who is in rebuilding or building a football program. To me, that was just essential. And it's almost like they did the exact opposite. That's the problem that I have with it. It's like, I'm not saying his resume's bad. I'm not saying he's a bad athletic director or bad person or anything. What I'm saying is I think he had the wrong skill set as a hire. That's it. I mean, it's pretty simple. And I blame Purdue's athletic department for kind of missing the forest because of the trees.
Thing I'll say about that is they are saying the right things in terms of not ignoring, as they even put it, the elephant in the room, that football needs to get better. Like, they were very clear that they understand, and he understands, football is job one for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that it drives the train, but it's in the worst condition of almost any sport Purdue has. So they're clearly aware of that, and he apparently really impressed in the interviews. And they claim they spoke to 50 people.
So did Daryl Hazel.
I mean, but Daryl Hazel, that's the thing. This is the revisionist history.
They didn't have this much time with Hazel.
But the revisionist history is like, and not by us, but like most, you know, people on Twitter who make jokey jokes, is that at the time, Hazel was a bad hire. I mean, that's the thing, is that at the time, Hazel was a great hire. I think we were all ecstatic that Purdue actually, you know, Purdue got somebody like Daryl Hazel, who we thought was kind of an up-and-coming type hire. But, you know, it ended up not working for some reason. And is the reason that he stuck by his coordinators who were bad for too long, is it because he tried to build us in trestle ball, in the image of trestle ball, when we don't have the talent to do that? Is it more because Purdue doesn't have the resources to compete in the Big Ten, or hasn't committed the resources?
Also.
You know what I mean?
All those things.
Exactly. My question is, is it one or is it all of them? If it's all of them, then I guess you fix one at a time.
No, I think Hazel, it's a totally different thing. I completely agree that we were all up on Hazel and we were all wrong. But they had such a limited amount of time for that.
Yeah, that's
they
the had thing to today. The that's what I liked. Yeah, Jay, you had a great point today. I mean, the way you handled it is the way I would have handled it. It's the way Anish would have handled it. Somebody made a smart-ass comment about, what did these guys think about the Hazel hire? And you took your medicine right away. You took our medicine right away. We all liked Hazel. We all still like Hazel. We thought it was a good hire. So I mean, it's not that we're saying we're clairvoyant or geniuses. No, I think my whole point is that the optics of this seem lousy, right? Because the only big university test he's had with major football did not go well, right? Did not go well at all. And everybody knows that who's on him for 5 minutes, right? It didn't take me like tons of research to find out the rift between he and Paul Johnson. Right?
Well, so that's another.
You go back, okay, one step.
The rift with Paul Johnson, the coach at Georgia Tech, is another. It's really weird to me because that story came out on Monday, which is yesterday. And Babinski was announced at Purdue on Tuesday. To me, that's like a guy who knows, you know, Paul Johnson knew that Babinski was either in the final interviews for Purdue or already had the job. If it was Monday when he gave the interview, Sunday or Monday, he probably knew that he already had the job. So to me, that reeks a little more of, you know, taking a swing on the way out.
Yeah, we didn't want this guy anyway.
Yeah, exactly, and it was kind of weird, and I don't know.
The
timing on that is odd, and I actually think that Georgia Tech has a lot more deep-seated problems than than most high-level programs, particularly in the ACC. I don't know.
Well,
wouldn't you say?
Did you listen to his interview? Query and Schultz.
I didn't.
Okay, I did. I can fill you guys in on this. I did because I think the website's important and you guys don't clearly. So I went
right?
I did some homework. Yeah,
clearly,
exactly.
Clearly,
so I took. Yeah. yes, exactly. No. Okay. So one thing that he talked about. A couple things that I thought were really interesting. One of the big highlights was, you guys heard this reference. He called Purdue a program that's in the starting blocks. Morgan Burke has set it up well. And he glowed about Purdue's facilities. So one thing that says is the ACC facility race must be leagues behind the Big Ten race because we know Purdue is at the bottom of the facility. They're with Northwestern and IU, and they're behind IU. And they'll be behind Northwestern very soon when they get that new facility built. I think it's going to be up and running very soon. So he said everything is in place. Everything is where it needs to be. The only thing that really needs attention right now is the football program. We need to get it back where it is. Daryl Hazel is not going to be fired. It is not an imminent thing. It's not waiting. He said, I will make adjustments if I think things aren't going well. But I had a great conversation with Daryl Hazel today. He continued. But the whole thing of him talking about how great the facilities said a lot to me about Georgia Tech, more than it said anything about Purdue, right?
Well, to me, Purdue's got twice the student body that Georgia Tech does, and they have, we complain about it a lot, but they have a lot more in-state and in the tri-state area alums than Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is you come to Atlanta to go to Georgia Tech and then you leave. And so there's not as much natural engagement, as weird as it sounds, as Purdue has. To me, that shows, I think what they were all itching to say was that Purdue has got so much untapped potential, right? Purdue is in the Big Ten. They get this giant check from the Big Ten. They have for the most part, a local fan base. And the people who aren't local are people like the alumni associations in Dallas or Houston or Boston. Like these incredibly, first of all, incredibly well off, pretty much mostly white collar jobs, and incredibly engaged. But the problem is, I mean, like there was a story, I don't remember if it was on Twitter or some or what, but somebody bought really nice seats one time at Purdue, and like through Purdue's official thing, and gave them the email address and everything, and they weren't alums, but they usually go to games, and they didn't get a single email from Purdue athletic department. They went to an Ohio State game. They went to one Ohio State game, bought a club level seat, and they get monthly emails, not asking for money, just saying, "Hey, if you need something else, let us know. We're here. Here's your ticket."
Right. Didn't you have a story about? Was it you who had the story about somebody who, or no? Someone in our group chat talked about
I know maybe it was on the KHC boards. Like, somebody claimed that they donated like $5,000 or $10,000 a year to Purdue, and they forgot to this year, and they didn't hear anything. Like, hey, still interested in your donation? Now that could be hearsay, but I believe it. I believe that, and that goes to Anish. I think what you're getting at, right? That this guy's apparently good at. Was it Michael who said acknowledging the internet is a thing?
Like, that's yeah, I mean, and that's
yeah.
The,
oh yeah.
It's just that we have at Purdue, and I think this is what I was trying to articulate in the back and forth, or in the roundtable that we posted earlier today. That to me, like, yeah, Burke, but like, you know, we complain about him, but for the most part, he got facilities up. He's leaving, you know, if you look 20 years down the road, and hopefully Purdue football, you know, isn't a complete joke 20 years
still
down the
exists.
Road. Yeah, exactly. I think we'll look on Burke okay, right? He had a really long tenure. He probably stayed too long. But in terms of facilities, he built, right? In terms of facilities, he made a few good hires. He ended his tenure with some bad hires. But the thing that I think we will fault him for the most doesn't have anything to do with facilities or hiring or anything like that. It's the fact that in 2000, in 2001, we were coming off of an Elite Eight team and we were coming off a Rose Bowl team. Right? And so within the last 2 years, there was an Elite Eight and a Rose Bowl. What did we get after that? Was there a fundraising drive? You guys tell me, because you were more, you know, you were adults, adult alumni at the time, right? Were there follow-ups? Did we build on that success? Or did we just say, hey, this is kind of good, but whatever, keep moving, keep pushing on, and not really change anything?
Those were the years when Ross 8 had like 60,000 people in it every week. And I think they were happy with that. Yeah. I mean, they should be happy with that. That's great. But I don't remember any serious capitalization on any of that. And you're exactly right. That was the peak. And really, they still were on the upward swing in football, right? 2004, we've always talked about that. That's where the peak was. They were top five. They were nationally relevant. And basketball still was somewhat. No, they, you know, and to your point about Burke, you know, I sometimes think about when was it he was considering leaving, like maybe 10 years ago, right? Wasn't it like 2006 or 2004?
Oh yeah, right before I got there. Yeah. So I think 2005.
Like, imagine how different his legacy is if he leaves then, when Tiller's still winning a lot of games and Painter's there, and Painter has come in and wow, this guy looks like he's going to be legit coming off.
I mean, we build
a statue.
We build three statues, right? We build one for Katie. We build one for Tiller, and we build one for Burke, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like
Tyrese, right? That only Ryan has access to.
I know. Well, so if there's any solace, you know, to take in this, is that he's 60 years old.
Like Drakkar.
He's 60 years old, so he's probably not going to be here for
well,
like...
And I think I said this. I like that, whether or not it's the age thing, I like that he's not overstayed his welcome. I mean, that's the positive way to look at it. I kind of like that wherever he's been. He's done, you know, he's changed what he did. Like, what, he had that gap in the middle of his Xavier time for a couple of years to do different, just to do fundraising, and he went back to being the AD. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that he's moved around like that. I think that's... I'm fine with it, because like I said in the post today, if he's amazingly successful in 5 years and moves on, then that's good news for us. Mm-hmm. And if he's not done a good job, but he moves on in 3 to 5 years, that's good news too, right? So I don't think...
Yeah.
Right? Like, we've said that. Remember when Hazel came in and we were like, if he's as good here as he was at Kent, then he's not going to stay at Purdue, right? Like, let's say he turned Purdue into an 11-win team in year two. He would have been plucked away by somebody, right? And I remember us saying, fine, I'll take that. Hells yeah. Make Purdue relevant again. Do what someone did to Houston. Houston is still good.
Make Purdue relevant again. Can we make those hats?
Oh, by the way, complete non sequitur. I was at, as you guys know, at the PGA Championship 2 weeks ago, and some guy was wearing a red shirt that was like the Make America Great Again, but it said, Make Tiger Great Again.
Well, I got
thought
jokes.
It was so funny. Oh, it's so funny. Oh man.
In the modern landscape of college sports, I am perfectly fine with Purdue being a stepping stone job for athletic directors and for coaches.
Absolutely.
I am perfectly fine with that because we're never going to be Ohio State or Michigan or Duke basketball or North Carolina basketball or you know, whatever. We're not going to be Texas, right?
Well, I was going to say, look at how positively Xavier and Butler and schools like that are viewed, largely because of what they've generated as far as then that becomes a destination job for the up and comer. Because it's I know if I go there, I'm going to springboard into Thad Matta's job or something, right? Like
Houston, I mean, Houston football has become this. Memphis, both basketball and football, has become this. Wherever Sumlin was before this, Texas Tech has become it, right? So these are those desirable jobs. Mm-hmm. And now I think Purdue is a step ahead of them because we get Big Ten checks. So if we capitalize on that, then there's an actual...
There's no excuse not to. That I don't understand. But let me ask you this. Do you think... Sounds to me what I've read so far about him is that he's not as visible as maybe as aggressive as we'd like, you know, with what may be necessary. Is there a chance you think that he surprises people and fires Hazel before maybe we would expect him to? Like maybe they win four games and he cans them after the season? Is there any chance of that?
Well, yeah, I think there is.
Sure.
You know, and one of the reasons, you know, one of the conspiracy theory reasons that some Georgia Tech fans think that he left was that in addition to some of the organizational things, if Paul Johnson had another bad year, he would have to be the guy to fire Paul Johnson. And that's like firing Joe Tiller.
Right.
Right. And so you don't want to be in that position. So maybe not. But again, Daryl Hazel isn't Paul Johnson. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So
no one would be upset. I mean, he's getting his fourth year this year. He's getting the same number of years Danny Hope had, and we agreed that Hope was there too long. So to be markedly worse. I mean, he needs to win 16 games this year to tie Danny Hope's 4 year. Just want to put that out there. I don't know if that's possible. Actually,
I don't know. To me, if we take
we'll
a
have
step
our
back,
staff check on that.
That's right. If we take a step back, his hires at Georgia Tech. I mean, so he's a basketball guy, right? I think Gary Parrish is one of the most plugged in basketball reporters in the country. He said that he's one of the most respected basketball, like Babinski is one of the most respected basketball people in the country. He was the chair of the selection committee. You know, he hired in his last job, he hired Josh Pastner.
What does that do for Purdue though?
Exactly. So to me, it says that he can identify talent. And at Xavier and at at Xavier, it was the marquee job, not at Georgia Tech, but he didn't have to hire anybody at Georgia Tech because there was already a guy there, right? The positive way to spin that is that he, you know, it's not up to the athletic director to change the funding structure of, you know, of athletic. All you can do is work within the confines you're given. And Georgia Tech might just have bad, you know, whatever, bad infrastructure. The bad way is he had a shot. He had a shot at to transition from a non-Power 5, you know, borderline, you know, school, one of those borderline schools without a football program, to a big job where you can prove yourself, and he didn't do it. I don't know. It's, you can say it either
way. What do you mean he didn't do it? You think he didn't? I don't think, just because he was a little bit at odds with some people there, I don't know that that means he wasn't good at what he did.
That's all I mean. I don't know. I mean, we're not in, right? We're not
three
in
years,
that situation.
I mean, it depends what you're fighting against. It depends what your uphill battles are. And 3 years, you need to be getting stuff done. But if he was at odds with the football coach, and really, we're talking about a guy, last year they went to the Orange Bowl, didn't they?
2 years ago, but yeah.
Well, whatever. He was there. Yeah. I mean, that's not like that football program is in trouble.
No, I mean, they've had one bad season, right? So, I mean, but if we look at his basketball hires, he hired Josh Pastner. Then we go back one more. He hired Chris Mack at Xavier. He hired Sean Miller at Xavier. He hired Thad Matta at Xavier. I mean, to me, at least, that shows mm-hmm. that you can identify talent. I think the Josh Pastner hire is great. But at least he went at the very least 3.5 out of 4. You know, and by most rational people's evaluations, he went 4 for 4 hiring basketball coaches. He fired Georgia Tech's basketball coach, after an 18-19 win season.
I like that. And I just think it's, the next Purdue football hire, which presumably he'll be the one making, I've said this for a while, it's critical is not even the right word. Like, you cannot miss again. You can't. You simply can't. You're already so far behind, it's almost going to be impossible to come back. You can't screw this up again.
But the other thing
is, the money will run out.
Can he fix everything that needs to be fixed to make sure that guy is successful? Or will he hire another intelligent guy like Daryl Hazel who won't succeed because everything else at Purdue is in the crap?
Look at the things that he did to those good basketball coaches you pointed out. They weren't established, they were younger, they were less proven, but he had the right instinct about them. That's what I want for football. I always point to the guy, I'm totally blanking on his name, at Texas Tech, quarterback there, who now is the coach.
Young guy, fresh face, whatever his name is. Yeah.
Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury. Kingsbury. He's not done a great job after his first year. Not bad, but not great. But my point is, someone in that mold where you're saying, screw this, let's take a chance on a 38-year-old guy or something
even Paul Johnson. Who's inventive. Paul Johnson runs, the Wishbone or wherever the hell he runs. Like, he doesn't run a normal offense. So, like, if you're saying, even if you, walk the line that Georgia Tech and Purdue are very similar jobs, like, then hire somebody inventive, right? But yes. I don't know. It's going to be made either, after this next year or when his contract's out in 2017, right?
I think he's got 2 more years. I think it's a
18, I meant, yeah. I don't know. I would have liked this entire timeline to have been a year ago, because with Hazel's contract, it would have made sense for a new athletic director to be hired last summer so that Hazel's evaluation year could be last year.
But that was never going to – the buyout is such that even a new guy is not going to – they weren't going to cut him with $6.5 million on his buyout.
I don't know.
The minute
that Illinois' new athletic director
are so
a
hung
day,
up on that.
I mean, a day into his tenure, he fired the coach.
Guy with no buyout. He fired Bill Cuban, who was making like $900,000 and had no buyout. He was an interim.
He basically fired.
That
Danny
cost
Hope.
Him nothing. It cost him nothing. It was a brilliant idea because it showed. I just don't think you can do that at Purdue because. Wouldn't he need board approval to do that? To pay a guy $6 million or even $4 million?
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty big number.
Not right now. Yeah. Not when they're this close to it dropping down to, $2 million or whatever it would be after the season.
We say it's four right now.
Four
right?
After the season, and it's two after next season. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. That's like 5 years of Danny Hope, by the way.
See, that's the thing is that you can't even fire him halfway through the season, right? I don't know. I don't know the contract.
I don't think it changes. I don't think it changes. I think it's
January 1. I think it's January
1st. Right. So if you fire him during the season, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So you might as well ride the whole year with him. And I think Purdue football doesn't win a game.
You don't really think that.
I think there's a non-zero chance Purdue doesn't win a game.
It's a zero chance. They're not going to go win.
I think there's a non-zero chance.
They beat the ever-living hell out of Nebraska last year.
Right. I don't think that's going to happen. We ran out two
SEC starting two quarterbacks might start in the SEC that both played for
Purdue.
I
can't wait till they're playing in the SEC title game. That'll be the absolute best.
I think they do actually play each other this year. There's a regular season game.
I hope they both start. I hope they both get a chance.
I don't know if you remember the Labor Day game last year against Marshall when
when of course when Appleby, when it looked like Purdue was going to win and Appleby found a way to throw the interception to lose the game after he opened the game with an interception on Purdue's first play from scrimmage. During that game,
first play of the season.
First play of the season.
Yeah.
The I don't know if you remember that game, but the what was it? Spencer Hall at Every Day Should Be Saturday. That was like one of the only games on that day because it was on Sunday of Labor Day weekend. So he was like live tweeting it, and he was talking about Applebee's and eating good in the neighborhood. Yeah. And I don't read him enough to know, but does he realize the irony that now he'll be cheering for that exact quarterback?
Yes, like, he does. He does. He does. He's perfect. Did you hear? I think we shared it on Twitter too. Their preview.
Yeah. That was one of the best podcasts I've ever heard. It was phenomenal.
So they did, along with Ryan Nanny and Spencer Hall, they do their previews. And what they do is just draw four random teams out of a hat.
They changed it after. Oh, no. Because... that one they let their readers choose. And their readers chose the four worst schools possible, I think, is what they did. It was like Purdue, Wake,
Syracuse,
NC State, and Syracuse. Something like that. And some of the stuff they came up with, they were like, Purdue shouldn't sell season tickets. They should sell only road packages. Like it's like a lifeboat.
You get to leave West Lafayette.
There were a couple great lines. And then they said, and they turned over their offensive and defensive coordinators. And he said, they're like a mattress. You got to flip them. Every year, got to flip them.
I don't know.
Hold on. Let's visit that real quick. Anish, I think if the coordinators would have somehow survived, I think the 0-12 was a real possibility.
I don't know how they survived last year.
I don't either. But I think specifically, I think Shoup had so little grasp on what he was doing, and his plan was working so poorly, and he stuck with it still. And then Hazel stuck with him still, right? So that's really the problem. We can blame the structure around not being Ohio State for Daryl Hazel's poor development of the program.
3 yards but really, in a cloud of dust.
Oh, man. I mean, the idea that offense was going to work.
We're going to take our big linemen and we're going to push them. We're going to blast them off the line with these gigantic linemen.
Our 240-pound, 5-foot 11.
Two-star starters who were backed up by walk-on punters.
That what I'm concerned with is that this is the thinnest team that Hazel has. Yeah, and so two injuries on the offensive line.
It's the thinnest team I can remember.
That's amazing, because just a couple years ago, Purdue was starting guys at linebacker who were high school quarterbacks, and they were playing against and that sounds bad enough, and then you like look at who they're lining up against, and you look at like when Ohio State suffers a catastrophic injury to a major star, they still go win the national title. Doesn't matter. No, if that happened to Purdue, you might as well fold the season, right? Like just quit. They got NFL caliber players at third string.
But so
there's
so
no comparison.
Does so with the new athletic director Babinski, what do you think the line is for Daryl Hazel? Because there's got to be an evaluation line at the end of this year, right? He said so himself. He didn't say Hazel was safe.
He didn't say Hazel was safe.
He said that they would be evaluated at the end of the year. You say three wins, Dad?
I think three.
Three wins. Big success. Big success. You're right on the edge there of greatness.
You think three, they keep them.
You've
I know you and I were saying this the other day.
Three, what did we say? The over-under was 3.5? Yeah, I think that's legit. I really do.
I was saying this the other day.
That's right at the line.
Before the hire. I think if this is a guy who wants to prove that football is a number one priority, then I think three wins and Hazel could be in trouble, especially if it's an embarrassing season. Like, the losses are just dreadfully unwatchable. I think all he has to do to stay, though, we've said this before, a 4 or 5-win season, if it's like the 09 team, remember how fun that team was because they could roll up 50 on some people and they could beat a good team? It's frustrating that they didn't win enough to go to a bowl game, but you wanted to watch every week, and they were a 5-7 team.
I would kill Joey Elliott.
I'm just saying that's watchable, and the fans actually came to that and enjoyed some of it. If you did that this year, I think he stays because that would be some excitement.
I did too.
If Blau shows progress,
no doubt he'd stay.
And we'd be okay with it because real progress though isn't 4 wins. It's not 3 wins, right? Like he had 2 last year, right? It was 2-10. Like if they go to 3-9, that's not progress. That's treading water. And so against this schedule, here's the thing. Let's say he wins six and miraculously goes to a bowl game. They're going to regress next year because the schedule's not as easy.
No. So you if we won, so let's say if it was up to you both, just a one-word answer, keep him or fire him, would you do that if we had three wins?
Hold on. You're asking if we would or if we
you would, him? If you guys are athletic directors.
I'd fire him today.
I wouldn't give him a...
four wins.
He'd be fired right
four
now.
Wins.
Fired.
Five fired. Wins.
Fire.
Six wins.
You would fire him at five and seven? You'd fire him at 5-7.
No. I'd say five is on the edge. I think I'd probably keep him at 5 wins right now.
So you'd probably keep him at 5 wins if the buyout is $4.5 million.
Right.
That is the problem. Yeah, we're still living in this world. Yes.
Yeah.
I think you almost have to keep him.
Oh, and you guys are making
money. If money's no object, I thought you were asking. Then I'd say you fire him today.
No, I fire him. Yeah, I fire him yesterday and see if I can get Lovie Smith from Illinois.
I don't know. 4.5 million.
I mean, honestly, my dream was that we land an aggressive AD like that who fires him, and then I wanted as a Colts fan, I wanted Pagano to just move on. But Pagano is a perfect college coach. I think Pagano would make an incredible college coach.
Motivating guys, pumping them up.
Oh, rah-rah, your players will run through the wall for you. The recruit. Could you imagine the recruiting pitch? What are you going to say no to Chuck Pagano? I'm in. That was my dream.
When I was battling cancer, this reminds me a lot of that.
Just the way that Nebraska was gnawing away at our insides, just the way that
exactly.
Yeah, he'd be drawing
some old timey stuff, you know. So, yeah, he'd be a great college coach. I don't think he's a very good pro coach, though. So.
No, but and Brian Grigson is not a very good pro anything.
No, he's very bad. He's a very bad everything. He'd be a good mob muscle. I think he'd be good at that.
I don't know. He might deadlift more than half of the offensive linemen on the Colts right now.
That dude's still massive.
One of the conspiracy theories was that it was going to be Grigson because I think he's a Purdue guy. I think he got his master's at Krannert or he did his undergrad at Purdue. But
everybody was pretty convinced last night that it was going to be Eric Hyman, right? I mean,
so let's talk about the other guys, right? Okay. So the two ones I think all of us wanted were Eric Hyman, who used to be Texas A&M's athletic director. He used to be South Carolina's athletic director, and he had another job on there before that at a lower tier school.
But he's 66.
He's 66, but he has, he hired, I think he came in right at the same time as Spurrier, and he came in right at the same time as Kevin Sumlin. So I don't think he actually made those hires, but, reinvented programs in the South around football. I think we wanted that. The other candidate I think all of us wanted, and I think Dowd touched on this in his piece today, was Keena Turner. Right? I mean, an 11-year pro, a Purdue linebacker, who's now VP of football operations for the 49ers. That was the guy, right?
Yeah.
The other ones, I think Patrick Chung was on there. Boston College's athletic director was on there. Jim Schaus, who's Fred Schaus's son, who is at Ohio University, was on there. But I think all of those are, I mean, Greg Christopher, the current Xavier athletic director, they're all not as good as Babinski. All of the other rumors that we heard aren't as good as
Hyman's
Babinski.
Better?
I think, so that's what I said. Keena and Hyman, I think, are the two ones.
Gotcha.
Are the two ones that we probably all would have liked a little more, because we're not going to make we'll do a podcast about this in a bit, Justin, but we're not going to make a basketball hire unless Painter completely swings and misses on the 2017 class. Then it might be a little sooner than all of us were thinking, but basketball is safe and we hired a basketball guy. So that's the one thing that's the one thing you can say would have liked a football guy. Am I missing anything? Anything from the Hyman or Keena or anybody else? What other qualities would you have liked?
No, I don't think you're missing anything. I think those two guys were the guys that I really wanted of the names I heard. And I hope I made this clear in my post that I really didn't want to name Nancy Cross and Tom Schott by name because I don't think they're worthy of that, honestly. I dislike them that much that I don't even like the fact that they were brought up as candidates ever. I don't know how serious that was, but that would have been like absolute nightmare scenario for me. But I stand pat with Babinski, you know, and I do at least have an open mind where I say, I'll give this guy a chance. I sound like my dad. That's what my brother said, all of us Purdue grads, those who don't know. But I sound like my dad where I say, you know, I'll give this guy a chance. I've been, you know, a Purdue fan for long enough to know that we didn't see a splashy hire happening, you know. We all would have been shocked. This is kind of what you expect. It still made me spitting mad when I heard the hire because, and that's not Babinski's fault. This is like what I've said with Danny Hope. You can't be mad at Danny Hope for being Danny Hope, right?
Right.
Danny Hope was a guy that was in over his head who just loved being Purdue's football coach and he was enthusiastic and didn't know what he was doing. Daryl Hazel. Can't be mad at Daryl Hazel for being what he is. He was an underexperienced guy who had a thin resume, who talks really well and says the right things, but he's really not that great of a football coach, a CEO, clearly, okay? And the same with Babinski. I can't be mad for Babinski for being hired. Not his fault, right? You know, that good for him. I hope it's a great hire in the long run. Could be. His resume is much more impressive than Danny Hope's as Purdue football coach or Daryl Hazel as Purdue football coach. So I'm not going to say that it's on the same level. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, it's an uninspiring hire. That's what I'm saying. It may be a fine, you know, hire for, you know, one thing that you guys haven't touched on, and I'm kind of surprised at this. There isn't a legend in Purdue athletics, Morgan Burke's your guy, right? And he's the most, wait. Just because you do a job for a long time does not mean you're a legend. Let's be very, very clear about that. And I
love that he's going to still, like, there were things.
Babinski is not falling a legend.
There were things in the articles about, like, you know, it's unclear what role Burke will have between now and next June 30th. How about go out to pasture?
Yeah.
Pay his ass out and say, go home, Morgan.
Well,
you're done
okay.
Here.
So I actually
I'm
going to
help with the transition. Great.
So I actually think Morgan has a role. But it's not involving any decisions whatsoever.
No, and he won't.
Right? And so yeah. I want him to be a donor outreach guy for as long as he can fly on planes.
He's done a great job at that.
Well, so if he... Exactly. I want him to take orders. I want him to be a friggin' soldier for...
Rent mid-sized cars.
For Babinski. Yeah, exactly.
So it's not going to happen.
Yeah, make him get in a Kia Spectra or whatever and drive around.
Undersized Ford Taurus.
Well, mm-hmm. So how about the idea? This is something I wanted to mention. So remember how when, what was it, the women's basketball coach got a big extension and Painter got his extension and we were all like,
new
they
baseball
must
coach
know
was hired?
They needed to do that. They didn't
they needed
right?
to do that.
So the extensions that they didn't need to do, the Painter extension. So we were all saying they absolutely must know who the AD is or they were just getting board approval. Right. But to me, it looks like right now that Morgan Burke did make those decisions.
Yeah. Or the board did.
Well, then if the board's doing it, then what do you need an athletic director for?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that it's just, again, it's what we feared. Morgan Burke was still making decisions as a lame duck AD. And
I don't know. That's a board thing, right? If you're Michael Berghoff, you hold off on making the, like, what's the harm in
Painter didn't need a 2-year extension for
what's
20,
the harm
20,
in waiting
not right then? Not
what's
right
the
then.
Harm in waiting a week from now, like, you know, till the second week of August,
right?
And doing that, you know, I don't know. That
amazing
was weird.
How they kept the secret too. I mean, everyone's like, well, we keep a secret. Well, yeah, but this goes back to a point I've made over and over and over. Nobody pushes Purdue in the media.
Nobody can.
Last night, Washburn's on Twitter saying he thought it'd be Hyman. He said he and Karpik both thought it'd be Hyman. And he kept saying, I don't have any confirmation of this. It's just what I think. Just out there guessing and speculating. No sources, no information. Like,
so
us posting it at 8:50 was one of the first people to actually write it. Like,
so even if you look at what Karpik did on GBI, he listed a bunch of all the finalists we named yesterday, and on last week's Boiling Over, we'll talk about this too, but he said Oliver Luck wasn't taking the job. And So he's had inside information, and still, I think the only time I read Babinski's name was right when Morgan Burke was announced that he stepped down. I think one post somewhere somebody wrote, maybe at the Journal and Courier, maybe at the Star, maybe somebody who wrote one of those listicles listed Babinski's name once. But then that was the only time that I'd heard his name like be mentioned. Maybe it was a boiling over from GBI like that week, but it was a complete secret until this morning.
I don't think it was in boiling over.
It was a complete secret until this
morning.
That's
one thing. One thing I'm sure we're going to get a lot of kudos, by the way. You and I and we've got some knucklehead and GBI subscribers on our staff. We didn't mention a thing about what we had read on Boiling Over. I'm sure Karpik listens to this show rigidly.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sure he'll give us a pat on the back. But you know, the one thing that you know I always say is I like the guys at GBI. That's why I respect what they ask for. You know, I don't do it because of the tie-in with university at all. I really don't that at all, and I don't want those guys to be held accountable because I decide to spout off. You know what I mean? I think that their information, though, in hindsight,
right? Yeah, they didn't. They didn't have to. I'm sure that all of those people got interviews. I'm sure that Oliver Luck wasn't offered the job, but he was like, you know, it was like you don't offer the job to somebody you know is going to turn you down. So like they put out feelers to Oliver Luck, said, hey, you know, I don't, you know, what's his name? Mark Emmert just got a 3-year extension as the president of the NCAA, which is a joke, by the way, but. You know, I think he's gunning. I think Oliver Luck is gunning for that number one at the NCAA job or the commissioner of the Big Ten. And he was soft offered the Purdue job and didn't take it. Like I don't have any reason to doubt any of that. But they didn't mention Babinski until, you know, I think it was 7:30 was when they're 8:15 when their post went up, and then Brian named Babinski like at 8:30 or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's
somebody else broke it, right? Didn't a bigger outlet break it?
No. Like, so GBI,
somebody out of Atlanta.
GBI broke it, but it seemed to be like a mass text. Like, so they texted GBI, and then right then they, like, right after they texted GBI, they texted CBS Sports and ESPN and, you know, everybody else. So everybody kind of appeared at once. But they keep a secret because they're Purdue. Like, you know, you GBI guys need access. The Journal and Courier guys need access. And there's nobody else. You know, there's nobody really else, like, poking and prodding that can afford to lose real substantial access.
Nobody can afford to really poke.
And that's not their fault. That's just how. That's just kind of how it's set up.
No, it's not.
But,
Yep.
I mean, Oliver, like,
well, that's one thing. How about that for a change? Like, you said the fundraising arm. You know, that was the part that let you down more than anything. But I think you could argue there are a lot of things that are let down under Burke, and especially in the last 5 to 7 years, there's been no progress with technology. I mean, there's been the best things that have happened is when young guys who were interns have been, you know, promoted into other. Paul, what's his last name? The guy who is the photographer / graphic designer. You can see his thumbprints are everywhere, you know, in the athletic department. There's that's technologically in step with the rest of the world that's happening, right? But at the same time, you know, the athletic department generally hates people like us who really want to write about our alma mater. You know, they hate people that are they hate outlets and technology and things that they can't control.
Your cell phone to use in Mackey Arena.
Yeah. So, Paul,
oh my gosh,
Paul Sadler. I looked up his name because he's incredible at his job. The first time, I think the first active Twitter account was in 2014 when Chris Foreman joined, right? The first time, the first time that Morgan Burke had ever heard of Snapchat or like, you know, like Periscopes or anything like that was when Foreman did his halftime shows, right? Like, I don't, the only Instagram active accounts are the ones that Foreman runs and the one that Sadler runs. There are two guys in the department, right? This needs to be a department-wide thing, because that's how people follow, that's how young people follow a program now. They follow it on, you know, clip, 2-minute clips of practices that they'll see, you know, or those the in the arenas that were produced last year. You know, that's how you're supposed to do it now. I don't know. That part is what's unbelievably frustrating about Purdue's athletic department, whether that's Burke's fault or whether that's somebody under him or whatever. Like, you know, it starts from the top, and somebody
regardless, it's Burke's fault. Yeah, that's
Buck
right.
Stops
regardless
there,
of whose fault it really is, it's Burke's fault. That's right. So there's one other Twitter account that I just found the other day. It's called like Go to Purdue or Come to Purdue, something like that. And it's a basketball recruiting Twitter feed. That I don't know how long that's been running.
So that was was set up the day, I believe, by the guy who runs the by Foreman and the guy who runs the compliance Twitter account, the Purdue compliance Twitter account that I can't come up with right now, Boiler Bylaws, I think. And it was set up the day that the NCAA instituted a new rule that said coaches and programs can retweet athletes, right? They can retweet and share like commitment like tweets or final five tweets or whatever from student athletes. And that wasn't a recruiting violation anymore. So at least we're on top of that, because like 100 of them popped up on the same day and Purdue was in that. So that's good, right? That's a sign of minuscule progress, but progress nonetheless. To me, I want monetary stuff. I want creative stuff. We saw that Kickstarter that was there maybe a year ago that Purdue did. It wasn't on Kickstarter, but it was like a Kickstarter-like you know, a website where some of the new things in Mackey Arena you could fund, and you would know that your money went to that, you know, that specific, you know, backlight on Mackey or this new screen on Mackey or something like that. That's cool.
Right.
Like, that's exactly what people like. I mean, like, that's exactly what I want. And people my age and up till, you know, you guys are on this. Like, that's where we function. Like, we all function on the, you know, on the internet. And so we like to see transparency. We like to see exactly where our money goes. I've donated to things that, and the ones that I feel best about are where, you know, they tell me exactly where my money goes. They follow up a month later, and they follow up like 6 months and a year later. And they just say, hey, thank you for donating your $25 or whatever. It doesn't even have to be something big. This is what we did with it. Right? It's just, it makes you feel better, and you're going to donate more.
Yep. By the way, I just got on Twitter. Michael Phelps did win the gold medal. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Did he? That's good. I was going to see how that went.
Yep.
He's pretty
glad
great.
I'm glad we're talking in our podcast.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
I went on Twitter. To this on Friday. Good news. Michael Phelps won the gold medal 4 days ago.
We should do a play-by-play for the gymnastics that was on tape delay anyway.
I love how they do that. That's great. NBC, well, that's the still thing. My kids like got 1980. Home.
Like, we don't have all the results on Twitter.
I generally don't love international play, and this has been an entertaining Olympics for me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm starved for sports, and I'm always starved this time. But I've enjoyed it. You guys enjoying watching things or not really?
I generally like the Olympics. I actually haven't watched much basketball. Like, I
haven't watched any basketball.
I think it's because LeBron like did LeBron things, and it just like that was such
You're
a.
You're still basking in the glow.
That was such a peak for me. Like, I just need a break. I need a break from basketball, because I can't get over how LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I look forward to the sprinting events. I mean, I've got a short attention span. That's a thing. It takes more than 2 minutes. Yeah.
Here's a question. We'll tie this back. Are you excited at all for Purdue football this fall?
No.
You're not at all? I've said this before. I always talk myself into it. I get excited. But that's mainly because I love college football. And I've somehow, been, I think, and this isn't a conscious decision, but I've basically, I think, mentally checked out to where Purdue's like my little appetizer, my little aperitif at noon. And then, you know, then the big boy sports start at like 3:30.
Yeah, exactly. The JV team's over.
So I'm like, oh, Purdue. Well, let me watch some real football now. And then by like 11 o'clock when like Hawaii and Nevada's coming on and I'm like into my fourth bourbon, I'm like, this, I love college football. And by that point, Purdue is a distant memory. If you even see a highlight, it's like bright midday sunshine and you're like watching night games in California and you're like,
what the hell?
It's like a different era. Right. It's like a different, you know, like back in the 40s when they only played day games, you know?
I can't.
Hey, does Purdue get lights with this athletic director? What do you think? I say inside of 3 years, Purdue has lights.
Yes.
Inside 3 years. If the over under is.
Agree.
If the over under is 3 years, give me the over.
No.
I say under. I think this will be something that I think Berg was being a smart ass after.
Yeah, he was. Right? Yeah.
Because
yeah.
everybody was like, come on, man. That one guy put down $2 million on the table. That old guy, right? Was it 3 years ago? And it didn't happen. I can't believe that. That story is true. One person put down money and said, I will give you $2 million to put lights in. I think it costed three.
I don't think it even cost that much. But yeah, like it.
I don't know how it does. Yeah, he was being a dick. I mean, that's the thing. It's like the air conditioning in Mackey Arena. It's the same thing. Why is there air conditioning not in Mackey Arena? I don't know. You can't. Oh, it's going to be very expensive to put new ductwork or whatever. Give me a break. Give me a freaking break. You know, we've got there are guys practicing and girls practicing in Mackey Arena all year round. It is blisteringly hot in there. Air conditioning is nickels compared to this.
It's a modern
sports
arena. It's incredible. They put $100 million into the renovation, right? Wasn't it like $100 million renovation?
Yeah, right.
And they didn't put in air conditioning.
And what would it cost for like the best air conditioning system, period? What, $500,000? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a drop in the bucket. Give me a break.
Oh, okay. So the lights you think will happen, I agree. And I also think I'm hopeful that something – and were you mentioning this, that the south end zone – somebody was saying that.
Michael.
And he's right. There's no reason that should lag behind. If you can put $60 million into the practice facility, you can.
So the thing for the south end zone was, and I'm sure that a lot of people know this story, but I think it's worth, on Burke's way out, I think this is his piece de resistance. They demolished the south end zone. Like, without even,
with
like,
nothing
getting,
aligned,
with
no
money.
Well, because, no. But they did it because supposedly it was unsafe. It was going
to
fall down.
They let it go too long. It had been condemned.
It was going to collapse. They couldn't put people in.
That's
so you
true.
Could have
yes.
You could have more empty stands than
and
you
then
already
they built,
do.
And then they built Morgantown, and that was supposed
maybe
to be.
Maybe that's the reason the rest of the stadium's empty. Maybe they're just not safe.
they built Morgantown, and that was supposed to be like.
All the engineers know.
That was supposed to be a six-month thing.
Trademark J Money.
That's right. Trademark Bold Sports. Trademark J Money.
That's right.
It was supposed to be just like a six-month thing, just to tide us over during that one football season, and then during the off season, they completely built a new thing, and it was like trains and box things. And then Drew Brees has to pull them aside and say, "Hey, we have a practice facility straight out of 1972, and all of our players can't lift at the same time. Can we put our money there, please?" It took Drew Brees and a football summit in California, in San Diego, for anything to happen. So that's why Morgantown is still there in its full glory, his full wooden glory. Oh. That's mind-boggling.
Well, it's the best place to watch good football.
But what they got to do is they've got to finish Morgantown. This is you guys are all looking at the wrong way. They got to put swing sets. And some jungle gym bars,
lactation
and
station,
maybe
like
I
IU,
know, if you
like
want to go
what
crazy,
IU did.
Yeah, yes, maybe. How about a carousel? That would be big time, right? Because that's actually mechanized. I mean, I think that would be good. I think it'd be really good. IU, Fred Glass. I've said a billion times. Good for Fred Glass. Thinking outside the box. Purdue. Everything we've done has been. It's somebody else's idea in the last 5-7 years, and it's been a shitty version of their idea.
It's I I don't see, that's the thing about hiring somebody who's 60 years old and on his fourth AD job. I don't know how much creativity he's going to be willing to do or how much he's willing. And from everything he said, you know, he kind of aced the interview today, right? Or he aced the press conference because he said he's willing to empower people. He seems like the kind of guy who's willing to empower people, you know, to do their jobs and to do social media that he doesn't know and to do, you know, to do be inventive. But you don't, you never know until you're into that. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, guys, I got to tell you, I have had so much fun that I may even do another podcast in the next month. What do you think?
Yeah. How about writing another post in the next two?
Let's not go overboard.
I like how Anish does a post today, and now he's all talking big and bad about.
I think we've all kind of let this go.
I'm looking forward to your wrap-up of the 15-16 basketball season, Anish. In fact, I think you still owe us a wrap-up from the Little Rock game, if I recall correctly.
I refuse to do that. I will never do that.
Post was like the embodiment of a smashed keyboard, and you said, I'm going outside to walk away.
Yes.
And walk into the Allegheny.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad. I refuse to ever.
Maybe you can write something if you want to kick something off. Maybe you can do a post based on Biggie's hilarious exploits.
This will be a major post sometime because I think it's fascinating. I think Biggie's. It's a fascinating insight into Biggie's actual personality and how dumb we are, like talking from the outside in and thinking that we know these guys from press clippings. Like, I've been rattling that around in my head, but I think, I'm fascinated with Biggie's newfound personality.
But that's a microcosm, right, of all the things that we've learned. It doesn't matter if it's a college athlete or pro athlete, and I'll use one that we're all pretty familiar with right now, who just was in the news, Marvin Harrison, the mild-mannered Marvin Harrison, who killed a man who was...
Harvin Marrison? Is that who you're talking about? I don't know who you're talking about. Right. I don't want to mention him on this podcast.
That's the thing. Yeah.
I didn't know nothing.
I don't know.
I didn't see anything.
I don't know anything.
I didn't see.
Exactly. So that's the thing. I mean, that guy, everybody thought he was... you know, the most mild-mannered person in the world. And this, next thing you hear, you're like, what? How's, the, you know, what do we know about these guys? Well, here's the answer.
I didn't hear anything. I don't know what you heard. I didn't hear anything.
Anything.
Harvin, if you're listening, I didn't hear. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. That was boiled down. Anish has no idea.
J-Money. that's a good point.
We'll be writing some basketball stuff in previews. Yeah, we'll be writing some basketball stuff in previews to come. But
well, I'm excited. I take it back. I'm excited about football now. After talking to you guys, I'm excited about it and all the right reasons. The thing that I think about, and this is my closing statement, is how different my perspective on football was in the previous seasons, right? In the previous Augusts and Julys, the last couple of years, how much I still had, you know, went from a ton of hope to still some hope to last year. So maybe, you know, maybe something can happen to this year. I'm like, I literally, when we started talking, I was like, I don't know who they're playing the first game. I know the schedule, but I don't know who the first game is. Like, apathy is completely in my book. It's very sad. And I told Jay earlier off the air, I said, I swing now from apathy to abject anger, horrible hot anger. And I don't think Babinski deserved that. I don't think that's fair. But I had it. I was really, really mad this morning when that name came out, and I gave Jay a curse-laden voicemail, and then I called my brother because I just wanted to talk to somebody about it. I gave him a curse-laden email, and then I called it a day, and I said, I'm just gonna step away and not read for a bit. And then, of course, I posted a little bit later, and I was still mad. So,
well done.
So I got to find the middle ground. Yeah, nice job, guys. And if you go back, Jay and Anish, there's record of my outlook in August, right? I mean, it goes back a decade.
It peaks so high.
We've been keeping a register of it, so in fact. And one of my favorites is your brother who didn't go to Purdue, who is one of the biggest Purdue. He's an anomaly. He's a guy who didn't go to Purdue but loves Purdue. And he, do you remember the email he sent us going into Hazel's first season, predicting the results?
Oh, yeah.
He had him, I think, at 8 wins.
Oh, yeah.
Year one. Yep. It was awesome.
He was all in.
And this is a guy who's pretty measured. I mean, this
innocent
is a guy
days.
He's very, he's not, we saw that, we're like, wow, you are optimistic. And, man.
But we thought he was
he
crazy.
He doesn't have 8 wins yet.
And I think we
he
said
doesn't
six
have 8
seven.
Wins yet. He doesn't have 8 wins yet.
That's awesome.
Stat of the day. I think when he gets to 8 wins, we should respond to Alan's email. And say, there you go. He's up to 8 wins. You were right. 8 win coach.
We're at 6 wins, so the next win, we guarantee ourselves a bowl game. That's how this works, right?
That's right.
I mean, 4 of them might be to FCS schools, but whatever.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. Who's counting?
He's got
Illinois and Minnesota, I think, right? Those are his 2 Big Ten wins. Does he
Nebraska.
Have 3?
Nebraska.
Yeah. Nebraska.
Nebraska. Nebraska.
Yeah, you're right.
Illinois on the road. Twice. Nebraska was his first. That win over Nebraska, that ass kicking, was the first home win over a Big Ten team since Danny Hope's last game.
And I think it was like, I want to say it was like 3 months ago. I think it happened like in March of 2016. Didn't it just happen?
That was another thing in that Every Day Should Be Saturday podcast. They said, well, they beat Nebraska, who beat Michigan State, who beat the defending national champs. There you go.
We win. Purdue. Purdue wins.
We hold the belt. We have the belt.
I hold the belt.
It's like that's how it works. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we have to do a separate we'll do a season preview podcast where we'll actually go. I've been wanting to go through the schedule because – and I'll just say this on this one for anyone who's actually looking ahead to football.
A preview.
If you look at that schedule, seriously, I think I might have put this out on Twitter, but if you look at that schedule and think of an average Tiller team or even a decent Danny Hope team, they would win 8 games against that schedule. Mm-hmm. It is buttery soft. Like there is there's no Ohio State. I don't think there's Michigan State. I don't think there's Michigan. It's like, all right. Well, this is. I think we've uplifted everyone's spirits enough, and we'll be back with another exciting episode. And Anish, I think you and the basketball beat crew are eagerly chomping at the bit to do a little, fun
Andy's
after the
Spain
trip.
Andy's Jonesing for a podcast, so we'll deliver one soon.
You guys are going to talk about getting your hopes up every year, only to have them smashed back in your face again.
I am predicting a 31 season, so let's see how devastated I am come March when
it's totally possible. That is the 30 wins should get them to what, the second round of the tournament, first round, something like that. Anyway.
I don't want to talk
second
about
round
it.
Heights.
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm heights.
That's when we'll see what kind of athletic director we've got on our hands here. If he's got the stones to fire Painter after another first round.
That would be nuts.
Next time on the basketball beat.
Yeah, right.
Nisha's not interested in even humoring it.
Yep.
You've been listening to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour.
BS all the time.